Elihu spake, moreover, and he said, "Do you think this to be right, that you have said, my righteousness is more than God's?" Do you think that's right to say? Elihu asked. Now, God is in the heavens. God is in the heavens. Elohim, El Shaddai, the mighty one, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, God, who's in the heavens, has a law. It's called the revealed law. But the revealed law had not been fully revealed at this point. This is before he introduced himself, not as the creator, but he hasn't yet revealed himself through Moses as Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. In other words, having his own people. Now, Job is related to that people, but they haven't got this revealed law yet. And all they have so far is natural law written on every man's heart. It's a universal law. It's common to all men. The revealed law is given only to the holy, only to the holy few. But the natural law is given to all mankind, all men. And so we are not under the revealed law of Moses or the revealed law of Jesus, Yeshua, the law of liberty, but we are under the natural law as a nation. However, under the common law that our founders set up, which is as old as the hills, that's the same thing as prescriptive law. Prescriptive, it prescribes prescriptive law or customary law. A customary law means something that everybody in that particular people have known for a long time. So it's long-standing law over and over again, and it's often called lex non scripta, a law not written down. Not because it's not written down, although it often is not, but because it's not a code law written down. Now, the code law is something that Elihu is operating according to. Code law. A written down law based upon reason, number one, and moral conscience, number two, because every man's equipped with reason and moral conscience. So code law is a law that is not subject to these higher laws. The higher laws are revealed law, natural law, and common law. They're higher than any code law. Code law, another word, could be statutory law, statutes. Statutes that men pass. And Elihu, or Elihu, means God himself. So Eli is God, and who is him? Himself, God himself. Now, what he's saying is, I'm going to speak for God himself, and I'll put this code law under the customs and the natural law. He doesn't know about revealed law. Now, when our government was set up, the people not only wrote their law, but they wrote it underneath God and named their God. So they declared in the Declaration, for example, of Independence, same thing as the Texans did, they declared in the name of Almighty God, or they declared God and nature's God. Now, when they said that, they weren't just declaring law, they were declaring the source of all law. So the source of all law is upstairs. It's high above us, Common law is based then upon these two laws, the natural law and the revealed law, because at the time of Job, there hadn't been any revealed law. All that had happened was God came down and he said to Abraham, he said, I am El Shaddai. He revealed himself to Abraham. So we know this is after Abraham, but prior to Moses. He did not reveal himself in this book to Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord God. So all they knew was this form of God. And as the maker, as the creator, but not yet clearly about the redeemer. It wasn't clear yet because God redeemed Israel. So when our founding fathers set up their law system, they based it on Abraham and Moses and Jesus, all three. Now, Abraham didn't have a law. Abraham's basis or foundation was the gospel, just as Jesus's was the gospel. So only Moses had the law. Now, the gospel goes like this. No laws, all promises. Amen. Whoa, cool. Let's listen to the promises, see what they are. I'll promise to beat you. That wouldn't be a good one. You know, so let's see what the promises are. All right, listen carefully. I will bless you. Oh, that's a good one. I will bless all the families of the earth through you. There's another good one. Here's another one. I'll curse everybody that curses you. Another good one. You can see that? I'll make your name great. Another good one. Four. And he goes on, and everything is positive. You know why? Because the purpose of every law that God has ever made is for your good. So the gospel is actually the fulfillment of the law. It's what the law is all about. But if you only hear the law without the gospel, you might not hear the good news. Now, code law, the law that Elihu is going to be referring to, mentions God as though God were upstairs watching over everything, and he says that clearly. Nevertheless, when it comes right down to it, his judgments have nothing to do with what God said. He said, my name is Elihu, God himself. I speak for God himself. Whatever I say, that's what God says. So he says. How many know that many ministers claim to speak for God, but they're just speaking for themselves? How many are aware of that? Okay. So just because a judge says, I'm going to give you God's law, doesn't mean he does. He might be giving his own law. It might be just a code law, a written law of men. This is called lex scripta, the written law, lex scripta. So when our founders set up our country, they didn't want code law. They wanted to go back to common law. So they wrote their Declaration of Independence, 1776. They wrote their Articles of Confederation. Then they wrote their Constitution, the United States Constitution, 1787. And then they wrote their Bill of Rights, 1791. And they also wrote the Northwest Ordinance and so on. So they put these as higher law over any lex scripta. And they said that the United States will have law courts that will be common law courts, never code, not code. Today, however, all your courts are code law. But the code law has to submit itself to the common law, which the Constitution mentions. So, de jure, that is, according to law, we're still a common law country. De jure means according to the law. According to jure. According to the law. So, de jure, we're still a common law country, and there's only a few in the world, and they're all English-speaking. The rest of the world is all code law. But de facto, in fact, de facto, according to the facts, de facto, we are, even though de jure, we're a common law country, de facto, we're a code law country. Code law means there's no appeal above man. Reason and moral conscience is all that they refer to. They don't have you swear on the Bible anymore, and they don't refer to Scripture anymore. But in the first part of the 19th century, in the latter part of the 18th century, everything was common law, based upon English common law, Magna Carta, habeas corpus, Petition of Right, 1628, 1689, the English Bill of Rights, and so on. So that was the background for our law system, a law system that I have read all those laws so that I'm familiar with what made our nation great, what made it good, what made it what it is today. So you see, all these higher laws, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and there's actually much more, all above statute law. In other words, no statute has any meaning or existence unless it submits to the higher law. So, you cannot have a statute that isn't derivative, that is, underneath the Constitution, underneath the Bill of Rights, underneath the Declaration, underneath customary law, underneath natural law, underneath revealed law. Anytime that the sword or the power of the public is brought out by the magistrate, anytime the public power, here's the power against bad guys, anytime the power is brought out, it has to be under law. And look, all these laws up above it, not only the code, the statute, but also all of the common law statutes, all the Bill of Rights, all the Constitution, all the Declaration, all the customary common law, all the natural law, all the revealed law. They all have to agree, otherwise the policeman cannot stop you or apprehend you, and no one can act against you without agreeing to all that law. Not only substantially, but also in terms of due process, it has to be fair. That's common law. Under code law, there is no such thing. And America today is more and more developing all of its law based on code. That is, restatements of law that started in the latter part of the 19th century after the Civil War, which now remove one liberty after another under the common law, which you had, because by common law, God gave me certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You no longer have that. Your property is now in jeopardy, can be taken willy-nilly, and though there's color of law pretending to say, oh, this is done by law, it's just done by code law. It's man-made law. It's just something that the lawmaker decides is reasonable, or the judge decides, or the federal prosecutor decides. Under the common law, there are no federal prosecutors. Under the common law, it's a jury, 12 of your peers. Today, almost no law in this town is done by jury, even though there's juries all the time. That's only about 5% of all the cases. The majority of cases are handled outside of the jury system. They're handled by the judge himself, or they're handled in some other manner like arbitration, which has nothing to do then with the common law, so your interests will never be protected. Unless you're under a common law jury with a flag that has no fringe on it. The flag without a fringe is our common law constitutional country. But the flag with a fringe says, you're under the law of the sea. You're now under law. You're under marine law, the law of water. And when you're under the law, water law, just like a captain of a ship, he has total life-death power over you, and you have no rights. You have no constitutional rights when the fringe is on the flag. So when you walk into any court today, you'll see it always has a fringe, because it's not your constitutional law at all. It's not an Article III court under the Constitution. So no judge and no lawyer can practice common law, even though many times it's referred to, it's just an appearance. Because in the end, the only thing that counts is what's written down in the code, and there's no appeal after that judgment is made, there's no more appeal beyond reason and beyond moral conscience. So when Elihu is setting up his case against Job, he feels he's got him because he has a code that he's operating under, namely reason. And you and I often operate on reason. But the beauty of the jury system is this. Under a jury system, all you have to have is one juror that doesn't agree with the other 11, and the state, the government, loses its case. Or the accuser, or the defendant, whoever it is. Because the jury has the right to try the facts and to determine the law. Now they tell jurors, oh, you can only try facts, but you can't determine the law. But under common law, you can. But under code law, you cannot. So you have lost your rights because you don't know them. Ignorance is no excuse. My people perish for lack of knowledge. They are destroyed because they have no vision. But the founding fathers, to a man, understood this system of higher law. Today, you cannot read a law case and hear higher law. I have read some of, I think they're your relatives, Joe. I have read some of Joe's relatives' judgments from the beginning of this republic and state. Every single case. I just read them one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, after year after year after year after year, decade after decade, and so on. They always argue their cases based on higher law. Today, when you read law, you don't find that. No reference to God, no reference to right and wrong or justice, except in the most formal sense, just to make you think there's something above here, but in fact, de facto, there isn't anything. So, whenever law is done today, it's not the law you originally received from the founders. That is, when the people ratified what the founders wrote and set up our government, first thing they did was pick a god. Ours will be the God who made heaven and earth, the God of nature and nature's God. There it is. Then they wrote their laws, but you don't have to write them. They're already written. The revealed law of God has already been written. That's the Mosaic law that's been brought down, but it's also the law of the New Testament, which is the law of liberty. That was written down too. So they included that. Not only that, but the natural law. In other words, there is such a thing as justice. Under code law, there's not. The only thing you get under code law is what men who wrote that law believe is just. But what about God? What if it's the law, but it's not, even though it's legal, it's not lawful? In other words, it's really not fair. What if they take your property in order for some big corporation to build a big city thing downtown and just take your property and you get paid almost nothing? Well, they have the right to do it under the code, but they wouldn't under natural law, under revealed law, and under common law because it wasn't the custom. So they wrote down in the Constitution, for example, that if you do take property from someone, it's called a takings. If you do exercise eminent domain and take it over, you've got to give that person not just fair market value, but you have to compensate him for the value of that property. Just because you're kicking him out, you're taking away one of his rights without due process. You have to give him fairness. Today, it's not done. People complain all the time, it's too bad, tough. We need this, not just for a road, not just for a park, not just for a school, but for the fact that this corporation wants to make money and they'll pay higher taxes than you would have paid. That's commercial. Now, I'm not going into all that. I'm just explaining to you what I'm talking about is vital to your life. Anytime someone takes away your life, your liberty, or your pursuit of happiness, they're breaking God's law. But they might not be breaking man's law. You see, under man's law, you're not secure. Your life is insecure. Your liberty is insecure. Your property is insecure. And the only reason our founders said that we made this nation, the only reason was that governments are set up in order to secure all of your natural rights, liberties, immunities, benefits, and blessing. Because everything's for you. Remember what Jesus said. The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, any law that God has, real law, higher law, true law, always must be for your good. And it must not just be for the good of Motorola. It has to be for everyone's good, not just a one person or a small group of persons called a minority, or even for the majority. That's not the common good. The majority isn't everybody. It has to be good for everybody, including the one that you just disseized or dispossessed or took away. It has to be for his good too. No law should ever be passed in the United States or in the state of Texas that isn't for the good of all. That's fair. That's right. But it's not done. Today, it's always in the interest of some corporate faction or in the interest of the banking community or in the interest of this race or in the interest of this person. And so we have always challenges to our laws today because nothing's fair. Everything's done by lobbyists, bribers, people that get to these judges and pervert justice. Now, I want to show you something because I've taught you this. This starts with the Bible. And so you can see here, I'm just going to make it simple. I could add many other numbers to it. But I'll put down that any time 7 operates over 8, the power here, anytime 7's over 8, it's got to be under 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Or it's no law at all. It's a nullity. Ab initio. From the beginning, when it was first passed, it wasn't a law. And it never will be, and it never can be, if it goes against or violates the spirit of the Constitution. Not just the letter of it, but also the spirit of it. That's what the Declaration said. That's what common law is all about. That's what natural law is all about. And that's what revealed law is all about. So all of the laws should be of a piece. They should be fair. They should accomplish justice. Now, I want to show you how a judge makes a judgment. He has to have a standard by which he judges everything. And I have drawn this many times to show you the standard. Now, a standard in Greek is called criterion. Criterion. So, you should have some criterion by which you judge. If the criterion is human reason, and human moral conscience, then you're subject to the fact that humans sin. So you better have perfect humans to be judges and pastors and governors and presidents. You understanding? Those are real difficult to find. I'm an exception, of course, but they're difficult to find. They're real difficult to find. Because humans tend to sin. Again, present company accepted, but most ministers are sinful and wicked. You are blessed and benefited that I'm not. Outwardly, my life is pure. My soul is pure. My spirit is pure. Isn't that wonderful? That's good. The only problem with it is a lie. That's the only problem with that. That's the only problem with that. That's the only problem. And some of you have actually caught me. So you have witnesses and evidence that that's not the case. So human judges always must be subject to higher laws because they themselves could be subject to a lower law. And justice wouldn't happen. Now, here's God's criterion. And what does that look like? Does anyone can tell me what that is? That standard. We've gone over it 100 times. Okay, it is Jesus, but what is that standard? What's it look like? It's a cube. It's a cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. Did you know that when God made the world, He set up the cornerstone first? Because whenever you build a building, you always start with the corner. Whatever corner you start with, that corner is first. So, you have to set up a corner, and then you place that stone, and let's say it's off kilter. It's not exactly cubic. It's not as, perfect. Well, then everything's going to be wrong. That house will be wrong. Let's say it's a fraction of an inch off just on a block that might be 12 inches by 12 inches by 12 inches. If it's just a little bit off, it's going to be off. If it's a little higher in the back, the building's going to tilt. And the sides won't be square. And then when you finish your foundation, it won't match up. So the first thing a builder does, the very first thing he does in building is to set up the corner. Whatever corner you set up, make sure it's square. Make sure it's exactly plumb. Make sure don't put it on sand that might shift. You got to put it on something, something firm. Like it'd be good to put a cornerstone on something rock solid. Now here's the thing. When God set up the universe before the beginning, the word on the back is the first word in the Bible, Bereshit. Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God created et hashamayim, the heavens, v'et ha'aretz, the heavens and the earth. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim v'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. However, prior to that natural creation, there was another. The laying of this foundation. En arche en hologos proston theon. In the beginning was the Word. Before the foundation of the world. Before the building was built. Before the natural creation. Before a bug. Before a cloud. Before there was water. Something was laid in the universe. On what? On nothing. Why? God spoke a word, and there it is. That word is so solid that everything else is built around it because it's the measuring stick by which everything in the universe is judged. So when a judge makes a judgment, he should not speak his own judgment. When a pastor preaches a message, it should not be his own words. When a mayor executes the law, declares this, does that, whatever is said, whatever is thought, whatever is done, it must always match up with God so that you're not speaking your own words. You're a trustee for God. You're a trustee on behalf of the people, someone else. Now, that would be a true government. Anything else would be a despotism, a tyranny, an anarchy, a lawless creation. Today we are in danger of lawlessness. I don't know if you all know that. Am I telling you something? Do you all know that? We're in danger of losing. Oh, well, what's the difference? We've always been in danger. The earth has always been in danger. From the foundation of the world until this day, common law has always fought code law. You remember the French Revolution? They actually set up their form of government without God at all. They just said, let's not have a God. Who's ever seen the guy? What's he ever done for us? The last king we had, that we just chopped his head off, he wasn't a good king. And they said, the church said, the Catholic Church said, he was God's appointee. We say he's not. But we're not basing that on God because he's ruined. Let's get rid of God. Let's put up our own setup. Let's make reason our God. But let's not call it God because that's male and that's the way the other one was. Let's call it a goddess of reason. So the French, actually, the French, they are so creative. They're the ones that gave us the Statue of Liberty. Well, they also set up a goddess, a big one too, on wheels. Yeah. And it just went around. And the goddess of reason, they take on parades. They had little parades, and they'd bring out the goddess of reason. It's just pretty. It's prettier than the Statue of Liberty. And so they called her the goddess of reason because man's highest reference will not be God, the male. It'll be the female reason, ratio. So the French became rationalists. They became rationalists. Now, what happened with their government? Well, the first thing they did, because it's only code law and there's no higher reference, because reason is as high as you can go. If reason is as high as you can go, and reason which is not taken under the Bible, remember it says take every thought captive to the Word of God, think on these things and don't think on those things. Well, that's God dictating. But what if reason is free to do what it wishes? Then you bring out the guillotine. And once the guillotine was set up, chop, 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 there you have justice. That was called the Reign of Terror. And so it wasn't long before Napoleon came along. And Napoleon, who was a little man, he believed that the French had the right idea, they just couldn't pull it off. So he decided to conquer the whole place because it was just turning into anarchy. So he made up another code law. He replaced their code law with his code law. Only his was the old Roman idea. So the code law of Rome, which is based on Justinian's code law. So Code Napoleon. It's still in Louisiana. Anybody here from Louisiana? That was the code law you grew up under. It's just a law from which you deduct no higher appeal. There is no God above it. There's no court above it. The highest appeal is man himself with his reason, with his moral conscience. But what if your conscience is blunt? What if your reason is flawed? How many know that when you do something reasonably, there's always reasons against reasons? You come up with a reason why you should marry her, you can come up with opposite reasons why you shouldn't. And after you get married, those reasons appear intelligent. There's always reasons against reasons. That's the problem with reason, and that it can never make a final decision. You can make no reasonable decisions that are final. That's why the founders said, we will not build our government like the French. The French nation has never been stable. They can't even win the rugby tournament. Did you know that they lost yesterday? They're a great team, but the Brits beat them at the last minute, just like the Cowboys. It's a joke, but I'm trying to make it a very important point, is that when you have man-made law, which our judges practice today, judges just make laws. Presidents just issue executive orders. The legislature makes codes. What good is all this unless it comes under God? Unless it comes under the Declaration of Independence? Unless it comes under, and by the way, we have one in Texas too. It's not the same one, but it's similar. We have our own bills of rights. We have our own right here in Texas. Under God. The Texas Constitution starts out with the words, in the name of Almighty God. Well, there you have it. Same thing as in the Bible. But they don't just say it and not mean it. They meant it. And men laid their lives down for that law so that you could have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Why? Because all laws should be made for your benefit. Shouldn't be made for the benefit of a king. Shouldn't be made for the benefit of an aristocracy. They shouldn't be made for the benefit of a few or of many or of anyone except everyone. All laws should be for everyone to win. That would be fair. Why? Because all men have a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience. God calls us equal. He doesn't say, now this person I hate and this person I love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, we're all equal before God underneath the cross. When man rules, for example, Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is a code law. Afghanistan, code law. Every Muslim country, code law. Oh, you say they refer to Sharia. Yes, but it's just a code written by Allah. Allah is a code writer, not a prescriptive, customary thing. It's not done this way among us. Only the English-speaking peoples came up with common law, which is based on natural law. In natural law, you don't tie bombs on your body and blow people up. That's not natural law. Everybody knows that. Everybody who has reason and moral conscience can see through that. What right did you have to come and blow up all these innocent people on the bus? You don't even know them. And some of them are Muslims. What kind of law is that? So you can see there's something in every one of us that says, that's not right. Even little kids know that. One little kid takes the doll that another little kid is holding and grabs it right out of their hand. Have you ever seen that? The one little kid will be playing with a doll happily, and another little kid will see that and say, I want that doll, and grab it away. And the first little kid, to defend himself and get that doll back, bites the second little kid. And that first kid, the second kid, pulls the hair of that one, and, you know, they're struggling away. Can you see little kids know right and wrong? That one kid knew that was wrong, and the other kid knew that was wrong, and then that was wrong. They just keep it going. So you can see there's a little flaw in our reasoning. Nevertheless, we did know there was right and wrong. We just didn't know what it was. I thought biting was right. You grabbed the doll. I thought having the doll was right. Why should you have it? So little kids are always doing that kind of stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So how do you sort these things out? Thank God there's a God. And he sorted everything out. That's why he revealed his law to mankind, in case they got mixed up and couldn't get above code law. Hammurabi's code, written at the time of Abraham. Amraphel in the Bible. Amraphel is Amrapi, which is Hammurabi. That is a code law. If your ox gores my ox, then you owe me an ox. Well, that sounds fair enough. And according to reason, that is fair enough. But it's not God's law. God's law is actually above that. Here's why. Let's go back to the cornerstone. I want to, you know, you don't think I'm getting to Job, but I'll get to Job. Number one, the law is the first phase. The law is the first phase. Number two, equity, fairness, is the second phase. Number three, the top of this block, is the third phase, and we'll call that justice. Why? Because when the letter of the law, which kills, is added to or run through the fairness of the law, the original intent of the lawgiver, then you go from here, through here, up to here, and then when it's executed or empowered, then you get justice. So when you add law as a foundation, through equity, through the power, you get justice. So true justice is done only if this is the criterion by which you measure everything. You cannot just be a judge and read the law, discover the facts, and then apply the code. That would be simple. People that go to law school today don't have to learn very much. Why? All they have to do is read the latest statutes. They don't have to know what went before. They don't have to know constitutional law. They hardly even study the Constitution in law school now. And they don't study common law. If they do, it'd just be one course, but they don't even have that in most law schools. Why? You don't need it. All you have to know is the code. Just case this, case this, case this, case this. It's just a simple case, 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 case. No reference to God, no reference to the Declaration of Independence, no reference to the Constitution, except in an ancillary and secondary way. So there's no true law. It's called the color of law. It's not law at all. In fact, lawyers don't even expect to get justice. They don't even believe in justice. They call it courts of justice, but nobody knows. I mean, everyone knows. Just everybody knows that when you go to court, you don't get justice. What do you get? A legal bill. Even if you got $50,000 out of the divorce, your husband didn't. It's a zero-sum game. He loses, you win. But the lawyer won more than both of you. And he's going to pay the judge. Oh, he doesn't bribe him openly in court. He just funds his election. Do you understand why there is no such thing as justice anymore? No one's even aiming for it because there's no fear of God in the courtroom. There's a fringe on the flag. There's only reason on the wall, and they took down the Ten Commandments. Do you understand what I'm saying? Powerful, what I'm saying. It's just Bible. I'm not even interested in our law system. I'm illustrating from our legal system to show you what the battle is. Who will win, common law or code law? 100% of the time, common law. We always win. You may not understand what I'm saying. We always win. Even if Germany sinks our ship, code law, Wilhelm II, Bismarck, Hitler, code law. They used to be common law prior to Wilhelm, 1870. Then in the 1870s, they produced and spawned a code system. Then they are the ones that preemptively attacked first, sunk our ships, attacked us, because code law hates common law. Why? Because they don't like our life, our liberty, our pursuit of happiness. We claim God defends us. But Hitler didn't believe God defended Germany. He believed in his own law, the law of the Third Reich. He believed he was like Caesar of old. No reference to God, just simply his will. Did you know what that meant? Übermensch, the Superman, Nietzsche. Friedrich Nietzsche said, man just wills to power. Even a house painter could become the Führer. Adolf Hitler, he used to be a house painter. He used to be just a little painter. And he said, you know, I'd like to be the Führer. And that was it. And he just did it by sheer, not because it was right. Didn't believe in right. Didn't care about wrong. He didn't care if he killed Jews. He didn't care what it took. He just simply made up the code. I will be the Führer. And he was. It was just an idea that he had as a painter. It was just an artist. And he's like, you know what? I would like to be the Führer. And there it was. There are some of you that have that same idea. You would like to control your little world. You know, it might not be as big as Germany, who is looking for Lebensraum, a living room. Hey, you know, this living room is too small. We need Poland. And then we'll take Sudetenland. And so then they just began to gobble up all of Europe. They weren't going to do that in the first place, but Hitler was a dreamer. I'm thinking to myself, why just Germany? Why not the whole world? It's a great idea. It's something that an Übermensch, a Superman, the super race, the Aryan race, they shall rule. And we'll have to eliminate the Jew. He is ruining our system here. Besides, he's got all our money. All we have to do is burn him down, root him out, destroy all of civilization that doesn't agree with our idea. We will build another civilization on top of the world. If we have to, we'll destroy England in the process, and then America if she gets in our way. Well, we didn't even declare war. We stayed out of the war, but pretty soon we were involved in the war. I was born exactly at that hour, exactly at the moment when the French nation had fallen. In that moment I was born. I tell you, it's an amazing thing. Code law always loses. Japan, another code law. This time not the goddess of reason, but the goddess of the sun. The sun goddess. That's that little sun on top of their flag. If we had a flag here, I could find it. But yeah, here it is. I think this is it. No, this is not it. There's another one like it. There's another sun god worship one. Well, they lost. They always lose. Why? Because it's better to be free than to be slave. It's better to believe that man is not God, like Emperor Hirohito, the son of the sun goddess. But Emperor Hirohito lost. What kind of god is he? He can't even defend himself. What kind of a god could he be? So the sun goddess couldn't defend Hirohito, and Hirohito couldn't defend his mom. I don't know. I don't think that's too powerful. What if God has a stake in America's destiny? What if he has some Christians here, a holy people? What if he doesn't? What if America is being judged because we have turned from God? It might be good to think about that, because our law system is sourced in God himself. But America today has turned its back on God. We've become materialistic. We've become more interested in money-making. We've become more interested in commercial activity. Well, then you've forgotten God. How many know that it's my job to bring us back? That's my job. I have to do it. I don't want to do it. I'd rather make money. But you know what? The ministry just doesn't make that much. I have to depend on you. Cough up. I don't work. Y'all do. I just work 1 hour on Sunday. Gee, I've almost run over my time. My job is to speak what God has spoken. And here is Elihu. What's he saying? Here's what he's saying. Job, you're not a righteous man. Well, that doesn't agree with God. I thought he was going to say what God said. Remember what God said to the devil? Behold, Satan, my man Job, a perfect man. There it is. What God thinks must count. Let's have a law system that really does speak for God, one that agrees with God. How can you have a law on the bottom, seven, that doesn't agree with one? God's already spoken. He already told the devil, Job's perfect. Now, he didn't mean perfect under the law, because under the law of Moses, had that been on the wall, the Ten Commandments, well, then, under the law of Moses, sin becomes exceeding sin. Remember we talked about this last time? That when Jesus came along, he said, don't think I've come to do away with the law. I've come to fulfill it. Jesus also wanted to fulfill the law. The letter of the law, one. No, the letter through equity, the spirit of the law, two. Then add power to it, three, you'll get justice. In other words, the harshness of the law killeth. The letter of the law killeth. But the spirit of the law, the reason the law was given in the first place, bigger than law, greater than law, the whole point of the law was to bless mankind. So therefore, don't use power except to bless. Never use the power of the state to hurt, to diminish, to remove, to take away, to make unsafe, to make unhappy. But our law system today is no longer even reaching for that. Why? Because they've forgotten. They've forgotten God. They forgot that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Now God is going to restore. Why? Because we're here. Because we're praying. Because we're not only born again, but we're also filled with the Spirit. 2 + 3. Jesus is the Savior. 2. To save us from the Mosaic Law. 1. Which was God's law. But it was not God's law to hurt you. The reason the law was given was to expose you. Not to make you do good. You can't do good. None is good but God. One was not for you at all. It was for Jesus. One was for Jesus. So that one produced two. And I relied upon two. I didn't put my faith in princes. I didn't put my confidence in men. I didn't put my confidence in my husband. I didn't put my confidence in Pastor Jim. I put my trust in the Lord. Because under the law, Pastor Jim can't keep it. My husband can't keep it. How many have unreliable husbands? Just raise your hand good and tall so I can see. You know, how many have had experience with men that has been less than ideal? Thank you. Thank you. Peg, no, 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 no. No, no. Charlie, you missed a good one, Charlie. I was just going over the code law in Louisiana. Now, God wants you to realize that man is not perfect. Only God is good. If only God is good, where does that put us? Nowhere. You're not good. You've never been good. All right, I want all the men to say, I'm not good. All right, now we have justice. I'd like the women to then repeat that. I'm not good either. Well, so, I know there are some women that want to control their bad men. How many know that a woman cannot control a bad man? She could control a good man if there were one, but there aren't any. So, women really shouldn't get into the control business because that's God's. How many know that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? So, when you become controlling and vengeful, it's not going to work because men are not susceptible to change. Only God can change a man. You know how God changes men? He kills them. That's all. He doesn't see any point in, you know, goofing around with the thing like I'd instruct them or something. He just exposes them, and then when they say they're sorry, he knows they're lying, and he just kills them. Now, he doesn't kill them physically. He kills them through the law. He kills them through the Spirit. Actually, when you fall in love with Jesus, you die. When you begin to trust in Jesus, you're dead. You're no longer yourself. You're a self that's under God for another. Under God for another. You're not a self for the self. You're a self that's not for yourself. You're a self that gives up yourself so you can be under God, and God doesn't need anything, so he gives it all to the brother. Did you see how that worked? What a trust. Where you don't do anything for yourself, you don't even take care of yourself. As a matter of fact, you suffer. Because in order to be under God, he might send you into a furnace. He might send you into affliction. He might send you into a difficult situation. Have you ever tried to love somebody? It's not easy. People are demanding. One people I've noticed are very demanding, Jewish people. Has anybody discovered that? They're stubborn. They're stiff-necked. They're just not lovable. And the thing we hate most about them, and I know I speak for all of you, is that they're just like us. That's what I really hate. I hate the fact that they are so obvious about their wickedness, and we're trying to hide it. We don't want to just be openly wicked like they are. Why, they're obnoxious about it. So why go to Israel among those wicked, stiff-necked, stubborn people just to find out how wicked, stiff-necked, and stubborn we are? Because their stubbornness makes me stubborn. And their stiff-neckedness makes me stiff-necked. You know, the Jews are saying today, never again. Yad Vashem, never again. They raise their hand to the name, never again. God, what happened to us in the past will never happen again. But it's going to happen again. That's why I'm going. I'm going because I'm certain it's going to happen. I'm certain another Holocaust, 1,000 times what the last Holocaust was. Adolf Hitler was nothing compared to what these Muslims have cooked up. There's 1 billion of them, more. There's no hope. There's a few million Jews and billions of Muslims. Well, there might be a few others. I think China actually favors the Muslims. I think Russia sometimes favors the Muslims. You know, the Muslims have a lot. In fact, Europe is now against the Jewish people. I tell you, it's getting trickier and trickier. There are more Muslims. They're trying to put in Sharia law in Paris, in London, in Frankfurt, everywhere, all over Europe. The Europeans who once feared God, but with their code law, they have no ability to stop lawlessness, tyranny, anarchy, and they will fail. They can gather together all they wish. They can unite themselves all they want. But when your God is wrong, your laws are wrong, and you will not preserve your life, your liberty, or your pursuit of happiness. Only America then remains. Israel now pathetically has to turn to America. Once she had Europe, she used to sell them tomatoes. The tomato market is down. The Europeans grow their own. There were good tomatoes too. And oranges from the Sharon Valley, grapefruit out of Jericho. Once Israel had a vital trading partnership with the Europeans. It's gone. The economic connections are over. Now, those European countries are going down one by one, all code law countries. Only England remains, and she is threatened. So America now becomes the only hope. What good can we do if we don't solve our own problems here? How can we help Israel? How can we make her jealous by our mercy? Two, producing through three what one wanted but couldn't get. Code law without equity and without the power of Almighty God, code law can only produce death. You're eating of the wrong tree. The tree of life comes from two and three. If three is linked only to one, you have legalism. But if two comes in the middle and the higher law takes operation, then three will produce justice. Could we ever return to our foundations? Well, if we don't, we're lost. Without God, Joe, there's no hope. He that rules must rule justly in the fear of God. If you're going to rule, you have to rule justly in the fear of God. You must come under God. Today our rulers may say God, but they no longer fear Him. I have never gotten a phone call from the mayor. Pastor Jim, I know you're a God guy. What's God doing? What's he up to? They've never asked me. I can't believe it. How can they make decisions without asking, without inquiring of the people of God? What's going on? Help us out. Pray. Y'all hear me? Now, because America once was a godly nation, I didn't say Christian, godly, full of Christians, because only Christians really know how to be godly. There are many religions in the world, like Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, but they're not godly, and you will not find life secure, property secure, liberty free. You'll not find it. Burma. You can go anywhere in the world today and see the effects of having a code law and not the common law underneath the natural law, underneath the revealed law of God. Now, when our friend Elihu begins to judge Job, he says, Job, you know what your problem is, buddy? You claim to be innocent. You're sticking to your innocence. But I'll tell you what, I've got a standard right here. And according to this standard, you're guilty, buddy. And I'm going to have to give a guilty on you. And besides, I don't need to know what God has to say. I'm telling you what he's going to say just by my reason. I know enough about God through my reason and through my moral conscience. You're guilty. Why? Because I see a cloud over your head. And I see lightning striking you all the time. I'll tell you what, if you were innocent, God wouldn't do that. It's not reasonable that God would punish an innocent man. You must be guilty. And not only that, you won't repent. And that's why you're getting it, and you're going to continue to get it until you turn, buddy. And I've got it figured out. I'll tell you what the deal is. You think you can accuse God, he said. No, that's not what Job said. Job never accused God. Job never said God's not just and I'm more just than he is. Job never said God's unjust to do this. He didn't say that. He said the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And God said Job was righteous. And so Job was. Even his words are righteous. But of course, Job is complaining. But is he complaining to God? Not at all. He's coming before God and saying, God, I know you are a good God. But what you're doing is not good. Could you please kill me and get it over with, which would be good? Or could you tell me the reason why I'm going through all this hell? Because sometimes, God, now I'm not getting mad, I'm just kind of expressing myself here. Sometimes, you know, it's a little bit overwhelming. It's a little bit overwhelming. I'll tell you what. If you lost your health, how would you feel? If you lost your wealth, you see, you couldn't operate either. I mean, you're touching a man's health, and I didn't do anything wrong. It's not fair, is it? But I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it's not right for me, and all laws should go on my behalf. Being sick is not a good thing. Being poor is not a good thing. You've touched my wealth. You've touched my health. You've touched my family. My relationships, they all stink. Everything is bad. I didn't do anything wrong. My health shouldn't have gone. My wealth shouldn't have gone. My relationship shouldn't have gone. And now, my reputation is going. People despise me now. I used to be well thought of. Boy, you take away all that, what's a man got left? Huh. The only thing I have left is my faith. Huh. My confidence, I'm telling you, I'm going crazy. I'm going crazy. You don't want me to go crazy, do you? I'm losing my confidence. I mean, I haven't lost it. I still got it. But I've lost all the above. Health, wealth, relationships, reputation. What more do people care about? But I'll tell you one thing I care about. You. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know it. I have faith in you. I have confidence in you. I have trust in you. Trust in the Lord. I'm trusting God. But what about all this garbage that's happening to me? Why are you letting it happen? Elihu is accusing me. Here's his accusation. Guilty. He's accusing me. I'm trying to defend myself against him. Now, here's his mistake. He did make a mistake, and here it is. I'm trying to defend myself. He's the plaintiff. I'm the defendant. He's accusing me of doing wrong, of injuring. He says he's speaking for you, that I'm injuring you. Are you injured? Is God injured? God, are you hurting up there? By my goodness? Did my goodness hurt you? He's claiming I don't have any goodness. He's claiming it's my sin that's hurting you. But are you hurt by my sin? Hello? It's a great question. Are you really hurt by my sin? Do I have to defend myself against you? How could I defend myself against you? I haven't done anything wrong. I'm innocent, and you know it. I wish you'd come down and talk instead of this guy. He claims he's talking for you, but he's not. He's talking for himself. So, when you're under a burden, how many here have had loss of health? You've had a health problem. And your body is beginning to decay a little bit and fall apart. Well, even little kids skin their knees. I mean, health problems start from the beginning. It's one of the things we worship a lot in this country. We pay trillions of dollars to be healthy and to look good, too. Well, Job not only was sick, infirm, he looked awful. He needed a haircut. No, he shaved all his head off. Well, he needed something because he wasn't looking good. He had boils all over his body. He had pus coming out of him. Ugh, I hate that. I wouldn't even want to look at him. I wouldn't. And when I'm mangled up, I don't want to look at me either. Says, you don't even look. You know, I don't even want to look at it. I don't like ugliness. Do you? Does anybody here like ugly like that? Pussy and stuff. I don't know how nurses do it. I say God bless the nurses. May they go to heaven straight just for looking at that stuff. And I'm not that kindly. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm just not that kindly. I don't like all that stuff. I could never be a doctor. I could never be a nurse. Mm-mm. I want to clean that baby up, get that poop off of him. You know, I don't like looking at stuff like that, little snotty noses. You ever seen that little kid's got those candles going right down their nose? I don't like that. I mean, I like kids to clean up. Peg, clean this baby up. I remember saying that, you know. Put it in the tub. Wash it down. I admire women. They have their patience. You know, I wouldn't. I just, you know, hose them down. Turn around on your back. That'd be my solution. You can see why God didn't make me the mother. Amen. Joe, I'd made an awful mother. Awful. No, God wants us to realize every law he's ever done and everything he's ever done was good, and it was for you. But Elihu says, not so. He says, Job, the reason you're getting this, just say you're sorry. Say you have a hidden sin. Job says, I don't have a sin. I have no sin. I'd lie to say I had a sin. I would say it if I had it. I don't have any sin hidden inside of me. I'm gonna draw his hand up here, kind of covering it up. I don't have any sin. There's no sin in me. I don't have sin. They said, that's your problem, Job. He said, well, tell me what it is. Have you ever seen me go into an idol house? No. Did you ever see me being immoral? No. Did you ever see me? Do you have any evidence that I've ever been unjust with anybody? Not only my own household servants, my own workers, but also outsiders? Have I ever been unjust, immoral, idolatrous? No. Therefore, I claim I'm innocent. It's only reasonable. You have no higher criterion by which to judge me. No, but we're judging by God himself. No, you're not. You're judging God through human reason. You can't do that. Here's what God says. If we were to hear God, he would say this. Job, you see all these troubles you're going through? Think nothing of it. Think nothing of it. Think nothing of it. Okay. All right, I think nothing of it. But Job was thinking something of it. He was saying, God, it's too much for me. And God is saying, I would never put you in a trial or a test beyond your strength. How many know that God will never put you through a trial or a test beyond your strength? How many know that Israel is not only going to make it through this next test, last test, seventh test, final exam? Israel's not only going to make it, she's going to flourish. And she will come forth spotless without a wrinkle or any such thing. How many believe that? The only way you could believe that is through higher law. You can't believe that by your evidence and sight and reason and moral conscience. Because by moral conscience and reason, maybe she deserves it. She, after all, she has been stubborn. She hasn't accepted Jesus. She killed him. She's the reason. So many Christians feel that the Jews are getting what they deserve. You know, they've been rich. They're too rich. And they've been too cocky, too confident. Let's knock them down. Let's help God out. That's a bad decision right there. God likes them. God picks funny people to like. Usually wicked people. Have anybody noticed that? Usually it's wicked people. Let's just have a show of hands here of people that are that are, loved by God, but you're actually wicked. Yeah, see there, there's a kind of a predilection on God's part. Now let's see how many here are pure and innocent and have never done anything wrong, and you know that God loves you because you're pure and innocent and have never done anything wrong. How many? Ah, my point. Exactly my point. There aren't any. It might be 100% for all I know. Of course it's 100%. Two is because one condemns everybody, Jew and Gentile alike, legalist and license alike. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Two comes along that says, I came not for the righteous, because there aren't any, but I came for sinners, calling them to repentance. Change my mind about what? Change your mind that you can keep the law. Oh, I thought you meant about not sinning any longer. That is your sin. Your sin is not your sin. Your sin is that you think you could not sin. That's your sin. Remember Jesus said that? Jesus said it like this. He said, the sin is not what you think is sin. It's not breaking the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were never given for anybody to keep except me. It isn't breaking the Ten Commandments, committing murder, committing adultery. That's not why I'm going to judge you. The judgment falls upon you for this reason and this reason only. You didn't believe in two. And when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin. Why? Because they believe not on me, Jesus. There it is. Believing in Hinduism won't count. Believing in goodness won't count. Believing in Muslims blowing up Gentiles won't count. What counts? Only one thing. Believe that Jesus Christ is the only good man, and you're not. And you don't deserve to be loved. You are loved because you don't deserve to be loved, because we have a good God whose every law was ever given was to bless you. That's incredible. What about the bad thoughts I've had? He knows about it. What about the bad deeds I've done? He knows about it. What about the bad thoughts? What about that? Under the law, I'm guilty. That's one. One's gone away. One is no longer there. Are you all familiar with what I'm saying? This standard by which we make a judgment about Job or about Israel or about ourselves is wrong. It isn't reason that can decide. Reason's not smart enough. It isn't moral conscience that can decide, because your consciences have been blunted. Sin has ruined any capacity you had to be reasonable. You go inordinate at times. You think, well, I'm just arguing reasonably. Everybody argues reasonably. And it's all irrational. I know when I argue with Peggy, I'm always right. Otherwise, I wouldn't argue. I'm not arguing because I'm wrong. I'm arguing because I'm right and she's wrong. But she never yields. She never agrees or accepts what I say. She'll come out with a counter argument. I'm saying you're wrong. Yeah, but I'm saying you're wrong. Now that is wrong. One of us is wrong. It's got to be her. Because she's emotional. I'm reasonable. Which is completely emotional. I just want to be right. That's volitional. I just choose to be right. I have to be right. I'm right. There's just something in all of us that wants to be right. You know what? You're not right. Even Job wasn't right. But under the law, he knew reason and moral conscience, he was right. Also right about something else. He said this, I know that my Redeemer liveth. What Redeemer? How did he know about a Redeemer? Didn't even have the revealed law yet about Moses and blood and bulls and goats. Oh, but he did. He already knew through Abraham. You remember Abraham made a sacrifice, as God instructed him to do? Sacrificed, cut open some animals, and made a covenant with God. And the covenant was all God obligating himself. Not one of them was that Abraham had to do anything. In fact, Abraham fell asleep when he was doing his part. Abraham, are you doing your part? That was his part. That was the part God intended. God deliberately had him beat off the birds. God sent those birds to tire him out so he wouldn't do anything. Why? Because God wanted all the glory. Because when God makes a covenant with you, he knows you're no good. He knows you can't do anything. He knows that you're incapable of obeying one law. You remember where he found Abraham in the first place? It's in the Bible. You remember where he found him? You know where he was when he found him? He was waiting outside the temple in Ur that was dedicated to the moon god Sin. And when Abraham came out, he said, hey, how's it going? Yeah, just visiting sin. Well, cool. I like to make a covenant with you. Well, what kind of a God are you? El Shaddai, the all-powerful. I can beat sin every time. Really? El Shaddai, I don't know you. We don't have you here in Ur. Well, I'm not in Ur. I'm over everything. I'm the Almighty. Nobody ever throws me, even sin. It's nothing. So what's your offer? All right, and listen carefully. Write this down. I will make you a great nation. I will make you a great name. I will bless all the families of the earth. I will. And Abraham's waiting for his part. And it never comes. That's the good news. God was not relying on Abraham. Put not your trust in man. Put not your trust in princes. Put your trust in the Lord. I don't trust that judge. I don't trust any judge that isn't under God. A judge cannot decide right and wrong, good and evil, black and white, based on a code that man has written. He must have that common law that grows up by custom, lex non scripta, law not written, that develops over centuries and centuries of men making decisions based upon natural law, based upon revealed law, never nugatory, never against. That's the kind of law that will conquer this world. And this world will see. That's why America is great today. It's because of the God that we have and the law of that God. Do you hear me? I want you to hear me carefully. Because today the churches, which ought to be the light and the salt, have lost their savor and their light. Why? Because they're not lifting up Jesus, they're lifting up themselves, their programs, their, you know, Starbucks, you know, whatever else. Those big screens. We're getting them. We'll get them. We're going to get them. Because I know I've lost this robe because of that. But I'll get them back. No, we don't do it. We don't have anything here. We have nothing to offer. Just the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Only we say it this way. Hear what the Spirit, number three, hear what the Spirit would say to the churches. Just to the holy ones. I'm not speaking to the government out there. I'm not speaking to anybody else. I'm just speaking to the churches. We're only speaking to our own. This message is not for the governor. This is not for the president. I don't care about France or Iraq or whoever else. This is for the holy ones. You must not build your life on one, legalism. Build it on two, faith. You are righteous imputedly. Except for that one. That one. That is a problem. Right there. It's an accusation. Right there. She is complaining, crying. Wants justice. Just go ahead and hit her. She wants justice done. Isn't everything for me? She's saying. She's accusing everyone. You're not looking out for me. Dad, can you believe it? You see, God loves that. God loves it when we come before Him and say, God, no justice is being done. What? Get my bad guy enemies. And God is saying, it's you. No, them. No, it's you. Me, what did I do? I'm innocent, like Job. God's saying, I don't think so. None is good but God. You aren't good. You never were good. You never will be good. I don't want you to be good. I'm good. And I'm good for you. I will. That's called self-obligation. God has obligated Himself. He made a promise. He should have made a command. Do this, do that, do this. Oh, He did. Number one, but He only did that for Jesus. He never did that for you. Jesus is good. One time they said, Jesus, you're a good teacher. He said, none is good but God. But Jesus is God. And that's why He was good. And that's why men recognized. But Jesus said, no, this is not the Jesus you're thinking. This is Jesus. I'm actually a Jesus doing my Father's will. I'm not doing my own will. So you couldn't know that I'm good because I'm not doing my will. I'm doing His will. His will is good. And I'm doing it for you. I'm not doing it for myself. Everything I do is for you. When I die, it's for you. When I'm buried, it's for you. When I rise, it's for you. Everything I've done is for you. Why? Because God is for you. The Father Himself loveth you. Do you all know that? Do you all understand that? You are personally, under code law, by the way, individuals aren't that important. Only the law, the will of the state is the only thing that matters. In code law, only the will of the state. That's why there are state prosecutors. There's no injury against another person because they don't care about relationships. But in the common law, relationships are everything. Whether it's master-servant, whether it's landlord-lessee, it doesn't matter what the relationship is. Under the common law, you pay close attention to the relationships because out of those come duties, and out of those are created rights, and out of those emerge liberties. A duty creates a right which necessitates a liberty. Your relationships are everything. The fact that God said, I obligate myself to you, set up a relationship. You see, a father, when he disciplines his daughter, his son, he loves that son or that daughter. When the law is administering a code, it's abstract. You broke the law. That sounds like the Pharisees who said, the Sabbath, you broke it. You must die. Jesus said, oh, didn't worry about that. The Sabbath's made for me. It's made for all men, even you. Man's not made for the Sabbath. Law's never made to harm a man. The fact that I healed this man on the Sabbath, you say I broke the law? How could I break the law if I healed a man? God healed the man. Well, he's a sinner. That man was a sinner. And thou? We're innocent. Jesus was having fun, wasn't he? Okay, kill me then. If you're so innocent, kill me. God's son. You're not God's son. You're a blasphemer. How many know that reason is not a good judge? According to reason, he didn't look like God's son. He didn't even have a shirt on. Superman. You know, he should have had something on that indicated it. He just looked like an ordinary person. He dressed in ordinary clothes. Didn't even have a tie. You could hardly know he was, you know, an authority person. And look at his followers. Ragtag. What did he have? Did he have one Harvard grad? Did he have a Citibank account? I mean, the guy was broke. And he went around with rubes and bumpkins. Poor Jesus. He imagined to himself that he had a kingdom that he was building. I'm building a kingdom. Where's your army? Oh, not using one. Where's your sword? We don't need those. What do you got? You got a lot of money? No, we don't need that either. We've got God. Yeah, okay. Yeah. God. That's all you got? Yep, more than enough. I came to bear witness to the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He just broke the Roman Empire. Jesus just demolished the Roman Empire with truth. Isn't that amazing? You need to know that judges speak truth and not just code language, color of law. They need to speak the truth. Search for it. Deep search. Go into the past. Stare decisis. Look deep into the precedents that have gone before. Judge after judge after judge after judge. Judging what? Under the natural law and under the revealed law of God. Only England produced such a common law. The Germans, as I told you, had it and lost it. They never linked it up with the Holy Scriptures. Not like they did in England. Thence came America. There would be no America except for what God did in the past through history. 1 through 2, accomplished by 3, work of the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, 1 Father, 2 Son, 3 Holy Spirit. 1, 2, 3 produces justice, peace, safety, happiness, joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you know the love of God? There it is, 1, 2, 3. That's the love of God. That's how to be a judge. That's how to give the word of the Lord. Always do it in love. Was Elihu loving Job? Not at all. He was condemning him under the law. Job, if you were innocent, why are all these problems happening to you? Look, God is even against you. He's accusing you. You better defend yourself, buddy. And here's what God says to him. We haven't gotten to this chapter yet. God will say, why are you defending yourself? Are you the defendant or are you the plaintiff? Which? I don't know. And God said, let me ask you a few questions. We'll find out whether I have in rem jurisdiction here and in personam. Let me ask you some questions. Where were you when I made the snowflakes? Where were you when I created the hippopotamus? What do you know about hips? What do you know about anything? You with your puny reason and your moral conscience? Are you able to judge such things? Do you know anything? And it said, he put his hand to his mouth and he shut up. Because he realized, you know what? Only God knows anything. Why do you ask so many questions? Why are you worried about all the troubles you're going through? God, if you could have just explained it. Yeah, could you understand if I did? Well, yeah. Yeah. I don't think so. Why should God explain himself to you with your pea brain and your faulty moral conscience? It's just enough to get you through life. It's not enough to get you to heaven. God is speaking of heavenly things, not just earthly. But when you put first the kingdom of God, he give you everything else as well. Did anybody understand the judgment that was put forth today? The justice that's being done by God according to the criterion that God has set up, according to the standard by which everything is measured, so that the whole house, your political house, your economic house, your social house, your family house, your personal life, everything is built upon the same foundation. There's only one foundation. There's only one rock. There's only one cornerstone. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. And we go to Israel to declare that to them, not just in word, but in deed, so that they know that the reason you're going through all these troubles, there's no full explanation here that you'll ever get a hold of, but we know why you're going through. It's because the Father that loves his Son chastens him. It's for your good. And you will come out pure, spotless, undefiled, without blemish. Israel's finest hour is ahead. No matter what furnace they go through, and God only redeems out of the furnace. God will never save you except from a furnace. If you're going through troubles right now, rejoice. If you're going through problems right now, I doubt they compare with Job. They certainly don't compare with Jesus. Whatever you're going through, you have a loving Father. God is good. Don't worry. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to accept it. He's not asking you to help him out. All he wants to do is say, the good work I began in you, I'll surely complete it. How many have that kind of faith? I know that the good work that he began in me, I don't even understand it. I don't even know what he's working at. I get this 1, 2, 3 stuff, but I don't know what it even means. It's just cute. Pastor Jim's very clever with those little 1, 2, 3 things. But I have not a clue what law and equity and power is all about. But God does. You see, the Father that loveth you has everything arranged. It's all in order. And now Israel is about to be restored to her former glory. Nay, not her former glory. The original purpose and intent for which God made Israel has never been seen. Jesus was the first fruits of what he was talking about. And then those Jews that believed in Jesus were part of the first fruits in the early church. There was hardly a Gentile in the early church, a few scattered here and there. Now it's become a Gentile church, but we must go back to our roots. We must go back and join ourselves again with those whom God hath never forgotten, because the Father chastens the Son in whom he delights. Woohoo! God is good. I hope you're blessed today. Hope you understood. Any testimonies? Pastor, I understood that. I understood it. I got it. James, you got it? Anyone else? Anyone else get it? You got it, Judy? You got it? Praise God. You got it? Anyone else? Nick? Powerful. If you got a hold of that, I'll tell you what, it wasn't because I said it right. It's because God revealed that to you through this earthen vessel, which is all we can do. He revealed that because he's good. Not, I'm no good, but God is good. You don't need me. You don't need a person. You don't need anybody. You only need God, and you have him. You have him. If God be for you, who could be against you? Nobody. Nobody. Everything's working for your good. You're the happiest person on the face of the earth. Amen? You are the happiest person on the face of the earth. There's nobody happier than you. Nobody. Maybe equal, but nobody happier. You have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? What a day. This is the day. Hey! You know, this is an exciting day, is it not? Don't leave here depressed. Some of you came in here depressed. Got me depressed just looking at you. But now, We've seen the Lord's. We've seen the Lord's hand. We've heard the Lord's voice. We've unfolded his word. We've given the true judgment. It's justice is being done so that you will be set free. Your life, your liberty, your pursuit of happiness. Not only in this world, but in the next too. Everything's going your way. We have a good God. Great is the Lord. Greatly to be praised. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for those that came today to feed at your banquet table and to go home satisfied, not just for an hour, not just for a day, but for day after day after day, after year, after decade, after century, after millennia, for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, for this food that lasts, endures forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away until all be accomplished. In Jesus' holy and wondrous name, and everyone said, and now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, his fullness, his glorious kingdom. Everything he's ever desired and wanted for you, give it to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. 1, 2, 3. Until the glory of God is revealed everywhere. Amen and amen. Love y'all.